Then would you open your Bibles tonight to Psalm 40? Psalm 40, a place not good. Sometimes believers wind up in some very, very strange places in life, very weird circumstances. And oftentimes that's due to personal choices that are made, other times due to circumstances outside to control the individual, third-party arrangements and like that. And we have here in Psalm 40, I'd like to just look at the first couple of verses and then take you down through a bit of a Bible study tonight. In the first verse, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. The reason for His crying, of course, is laid out there in verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. That's a very strange place. Very horrible pit. The word there, compared with other places in the Old Testament, is oftentimes translated noise, tumult, or uproar. And so the nature of that pit, I gather, is a pit of noise. And yet, you know, when you think about this, theologically, as well as practically, there is no place so noisy that God can't hear. And we see in verse 2, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. I say that people sometimes get themselves in some very strange places. For example, there was trouble with Abram. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 10, in that little surrounding context there was a famine in the land, it is said. And Abram went to Egypt. Trouble. And I say strange place simply because strange there, foreign, not typically a place where one would book reservations for a vacation of sorts. It's a strange place, born out of trouble. We also know that in the very next chapter, chapter 13, due to some trouble, Lot winds up in Sodom. And there's the prototypical strange place. Okay? Very strange. Very, very strange place. And Lot takes up residence there. And it's not that he had any particular affinity to the residents there so much as that he was attracted by the appeal of the landscape so much. But there was trouble there that sent them. And we also know that if you'll look, please, in the book of Jonah, we find Jonah in a strange place. Jonah chapter 2, as a matter of fact. Jonah 2. Strange place for a prayer meeting. Strange place for a prayer meeting. I would emphasize that. Maybe I ought to really wind that out and elaborate, but I'll not take up your time to do it, except to say that you might think it to be foolish or even jokey, but it's not a joke when I say that some people have a difficult time understanding prayer meeting to be valid except in an official place. Some people really have a problem like that. Not a valid prayer meeting unless you have that prayer meeting in the right place at the right time. Jonah's in a very, very, very weird, strange place. He prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Out of the fish's belly. And the next verse, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. Now, the affliction we're speaking about is one of his own choosing. He was going the wrong way in a one-way street. And it's always the wrong way when you go opposite of God's determination for you. So his affliction, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. He heard him in a fish's belly. He heard him in a fish's belly. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I look at that and I say, that's definitely a strange place for a prayer meeting, but you understand that the fish that is there and which Jonah is sitting was prepared by the Lord according to the 17th verse, chapter 1. The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and he was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. So trouble oftentimes puts us in weird places. But in each place, God hears. Then there is the consideration of terror. It sometimes makes people go crazy. Go back with me to 1 Samuel, chapter 21. Terror. Sometimes people will do the dumbest things to secure their personal safety. We know way back in the book of Genesis, we had a husband lie about the relationship to his wife because he was afraid for his safety. Dumb thing to do. You know, whenever you think about that, whenever people think that they have to take matters into their own hands to secure their own safety, basically it's a high insult against the God who providentially has already promised to keep us in all our ways. And yet we have a man lying about the relationship to the woman he was with, saying it was also my sister, so that he wouldn't be killed, and his wife copped by the local pagan community. Here you have David. He's on the run. He's on the run, and we see in verse number 10, he arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. What do you know, or what do you can recall real quick? This is a real quick minute here. Gath. Why is Gath significant in your vocabulary concerning David? What about him? And Goliath was giant. And what's Bob? From Gath. So he goes to Gath. Do you suppose he needed disguise? It seems to me verse 11 would say, yeah, he could have used a disguise. Is not this David, the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his ten thousands? Isn't this David? Well, here's the disguise. David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, king of Gath, and he changed his behavior. And he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate. And let his... Now, this is a real quick lesson on how to secure your safety in a tight spot. Okay? And we see here, he said he let his spittle fall down on his beard. Okay, so drooling will help your case greatly if you want people to think something's wrong. Okay, and if you've got nothing else to do and you're really trying to make an impression, go to the nearest wall or door or something where you can do a little bit of scraping and scratching. You know, put a little graffiti there to impress the king. So, you know, what's this guy doing? You take a look at him. He's a little wet and everything. He's making noises and stuff like that. Well, the point of the matter is, if they think he's crazy, these folks had a particular hang up about maltreating insane people. Verse 14 says, Achish said to his servants, you see, the man is mad. Wherefore them have you brought, why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen? That you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence, shall this fellow come into my house? Well, no. Right there, David's off the hook. What drove him there? Well, two things. Number one, he was terrified at being caught by Saul. Number one, when he arrives there, he finds out he's been recognized by the Gathites. So he fakes insanity. He's in a strange place. Funny how people will go to strange places when they're in deep trouble. Go to places that they would never think of going under normal circumstances. David, under normal circumstances, would never have thought to go to Gath unless he was there to take Gath by force. And then, terror. And here's also, we find some people, not only is a fish belly a strange place for a prayer meeting, but sometimes at prayer meeting, people make strange requests. And thank God on high, he doesn't always answer them. Dumb requests. Let me show you the one you're familiar with at 1 Kings chapter 19. It takes place under a juniper tree. And Elijah, Elijah doesn't even have all of his medals that he just won in battle over the prophets of Baal soiled. They're still glittering. And he's now under a juniper tree because the herd of women's after him. The coward. I mean, isn't the Almighty Sovereign God who did what he did on Mount Carmel to the prophets there, is he not the same God who is able to protect them from the threats of a mad woman? So, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. I'm looking at chapter 19. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, that's sort of a semi-quasi prayer request. Now, whose prayer request is going to get answered? Verse number 2 or verse number 4. He requested for himself that he might die. That's a dumb thing to say at a prayer meeting. Now, whose prayer gets answered, so to speak? Verse number 2 or verse number 4? Verse number 2. And what would bring him to do something like that? For some reason, he was smitten with a panic attack, as they say. If you buy that notion. He was smitten with a panic attack. And he goes under a juniper tree. He's on the run from a woman. Terror. And even there under the juniper tree, God hears. God hears. Then there is a testimony to consider. Think of the weird, weird place. I mean, it couldn't be any... Can I say it in my best... Washington, D.C. grammatical grasp? No. Is there anything more weirder than a lion's den? And what, pray tell, would put a guy in a lion's den? It's not like a walk in the zoo, you know, where you've got a bar between them or a wall between you and the animal. Poor Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 winds up in a lion's den. For what reason? Because they couldn't find anything wrong with him except that he prayed and kept on praying like he always did pray. And the only fault they could find in him was the one that they themselves concocted. But he winds up in a lion's den. Now, the scriptures, I don't think, you might prove me wrong, but I don't remember reading anything in Daniel chapter 6 about Daniel praying while he was in the lion's den. But let me ask you this question. Do you suppose he might have Did you hear the confession of that school teacher on the news yesterday in Oklahoma? In Moore, in one of the elementary schools? The one young woman who was credited with saving the life of one of her students. She covered over top of her and took a beating from all of the fragments and so forth. When she was being interviewed, here's what she said. Something to this effect. I can't recall exactly how she mentioned it, but she says, when the storm was at its worst, she did something that she probably shouldn't have done in school. She prayed. And she asked God, please don't take these kids today. She said, I did something here that I shouldn't have done. You know what? God heard anyway. And God did exactly what He wanted to do. And remember this, He is always just and righteous in all His works. How inconceivable and illogical they may seem to the human mind, He never, ever, ever acts amiss. And then, if you think that maybe the lion's den's weird, what about the furnace in Daniel 3? The furnace, that's a weird place to be. You know what's amazing to me is that that they made it to the bottom of the furnace. It's amazing to me. Those three Hebrews made it to the bottom of the furnace because the guys who went to chuck them in there didn't get away from the mouth of the furnace. The heat was so hot. You would have thunk, as they say in Washington, D.C., which is something they don't do much. But you would have thunk that that not only the soldiers that were fetching them over to the mouth of the furnace along with their captives would have been seared before they ever got in the furnace. And I don't read anything in the Daniel chapter 3 where those guys prayed either. But I can only imagine they probably did. And if they didn't think about it while they were approaching, while they were dropping into the furnace, they were probably thinking about it on the way. So when did God answer their prayers? At the bottom of the furnace or at the top? Okay, I'll slow down. I'm going too fast. And then we started out with a pit. Psalm 40, verse 2. Horrible pit. Think about the one in Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38. Great place to be. And when you recollect why old Jeremiah was here, Jeremiah 38, and the sixth verse, 38:6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon. Here's the dungeon. No flat screen TV. No bunk. No private toilet. No sink. Not even a floor. They let Jeremiah, let him down with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now, I'm not an expert on wading in the mire. I try to avoid it as much as possible, but I understand that the more you move and the more you squirm, the deeper down and the more settled you become into the mire. But I can't imagine standing still in it. Can you? What's the normal natural human reaction when you're stuck in something? What do you want to do? So, and by the way, why is he there? You know, Daniel and the three Hebrews were in their strange places because of the testimony that they bore. Jeremiah, likewise, for the testimony he bore. And what was he saying? What was he encouraging the leaders of his time to do? Let Babylon take you captive. Just let them take, they're going to do it. That's what God's plan is. Let them take you captive. And if you do, God's promise is that He will keep you during captivity, and you can be able to return to your land after a period of time. But they wouldn't hear it, and so there was trouble. And so for the testimony that Jeremiah had and was preaching to the people of his day, he winds up here in a very strange, strange place. And may I share you a suitable request in a very strange place. Look in Lamentations chapter 3. Chapter 3, Lamentations, at verse 53. And just please note the last two words of verse 52. The last two words of verse 52. Without cause. Without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over my head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. And verse 56 says what? Yeah. There is no place so noisy. There is no place so strange. There is no place so weird but what the Lord can't hear. So if you find yourself in a place not good, remember what David records for us in Psalm 40 verse 2. He heard my cry, and then he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. We really thank you for extracting us out of a bad, bad place, place of judgment. And we're so thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that you keep us from there, and you have promised to spare us from the wrath to come. And yet may that not cause us to isolate ourselves, but rather, dear Heavenly Father, reach out in mercy to them who stand on the edge of that precipice of judgment, in which they will descend without hope, without recourse for eternity. Thank you, dear Lord, for the promise that you hear and will hear our prayers as we engage you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.